personally and has helped James out a few times for free with various business-related problems. The only other Christian that James knows is his godmother, Auntie Judy. She's lived abroad since he was 5. James realised how seriously his Auntie Judy took religion 2 years ago at his wedding. She made a very long trip to be there, which impressed James no end. And during the reception, she told him something he couldn't easily forget. "James, I know you and your family don't share my Christian beliefs," she said in a surprisingly non-judgmental tone, "but I just want you to know that I pray for you every single day." James wanted to ask her what she prayed for, but he felt a little silly. If you were to ask James earlier in the year what influence these religious people had had on his life, he would probably have said none. His picture of Christianity was fragmentary and a little contradictory. His wife was a little different. Unlike James, Caitlin went to a church school, so she has had a half-decent idea about God and Jesus. But she didn't want to think about it too deeply. When worried about things, she said the occasional Lord's Prayer in the old form she remembered from school. Sometimes, though, she chokes on the words. James's interest in things Christian took a positive turn one evening in his pub. All night he kept noticing a table of blokes about his age out in the beer garden. They were laughing, eating and telling long-winded stories. James assumed they were on a stag night. About 10 o'clock, a scuffle broke out at the table next to this group of blokes. There was some blood around and an unpleasant-looking injury. One of the group of young men helped the injured man to his feet and checked on his wound. "Hey, we should probably take this guy to casualty," he said to his friend. Before James realised what was going on, the two of them were escorting the half-conscious man out of the pub and up to the hospital. It was an hour before they both came back and joined their other mates. When they did, James went over to their table, sat down and offered them a beer on the house for helping out. "Thanks," one of them said, "but we're about to head off. Church in the morning," said one of the others with a cheeky smile. "A wedding?" James asked. The lads burst out laughing. "Not really," one replied, "but it's in the same building." James looked perplexed. So one of them began to explain that they all went to the same church and tomorrow they were having a special service for friends and family. "Old Mark here," said one of them, putting his hand on his shoulder. One of the guys who'd helped one of the drunk man. "He's giving a little talk in the morning." "You're giving what, a sermon?" James said with some confusion. Whatever this Mark did for a living, he certainly couldn't have been a preacher, thought James. "No," he said, "I've just been asked to give my testimony." And then he caught himself about to use some jargon. "I'm explaining how I came to put my faith in Christ." As he was speaking, Kim walked out of the kitchen area and straight over to the table. "Hi, guys," she said. "I see you've met my boss." "You know these guys?" asked James. "Sure," said Kim. "They're all at my church. In fact, tomorrow, Mark here is going to..." "Yeah, I know," interrupted James. "He's going to tell everyone about how he became religious." "Well, sort of," said Kim. "He's talking about his faith in Christ, which is not quite the same thing as being religious." James looked blankly. "Well, I mean, religion is more to do with obeying rules," said Kim. "So do you want to come to church in the morning with all of us? A bit of music, a bit of talking, a bit of praying won't do you any harm. And you'll get to hear Mark explain how he didn't become religious." Well, James didn't really know what to say. He liked Kim and her husband Stuart, but apart from his christening and his wedding, James had literally never been inside a church building. "Well, I'm not really the religious type," he said, immediately realising what Kim was going to say. "I thought we'd just establish it's not about being religious," Kim replied. "Look, that's fine, no pressure. We'll see you if we do, if we won't, we don't." Kim gave James the details of the church and left it at that. Well, the next morning, James surprised Caitlin by announcing that he was not going to go for his usual Sunday morning run. "I was thinking of going to church," he said, as casually as he could say that kind of thing. "Where did that come from?" asked Caitlin. She wasn't troubled, just a little bit caught off guard. "My James going to church?" "Well," started James, there were these friends of Kim at the pub last night." And he went on to tell her the whole story of the helpful young men and Kim's invitation. Caitlin seemed satisfied with the answer, but made it clear that she was going to stay in bed with the Sunday paper. When James pulled up outside the church, a big old sandstone thing like the one he got married in, he suddenly felt a little hesitant. He wondered if everyone would know that he was not a regular churchgoer. The first thing James noticed was the atmosphere. It was warm. He had expected it to feel cold and stale, especially on this winter's morning. There were a few people in the pews that looked rather traditional, but even they were warm. One old lady in the front pew in front of James said, "Hello, nice to see you." Mrs. Sheldon always made a point of spotting and welcoming newcomers. She would probably add James to her prayer list too now. At first, James felt out of place. He thought he was the only one who didn't know the words off by heart. Kim soon directed him to the words printed on the service sheet. At least then he could mouth the words. It wasn't his style of music, really, but he found standing in the middle of 100 or so people singing at the top of their lungs pretty inspiring. One of the better songs had a line in it about faith in Jesus Christ. He remembered that was the phrase that Mark and Kim had used to describe their religion the night before. He wondered what exactly it meant. The man leading the service from the front gave small introductions to the various songs and prayers and readings. James thought some of what he said in the sermon was surprisingly interesting, though he was not sure he understood it all. He later began to introduce a young man who has recently placed his faith in Christ. Mark walked up to the microphone. James was all ears. It turned out that Mark had never really been inside a church until 12 months ago. "My only churches," he said, "were the football club and the local pub." The congregation laughed, which surprised James a little. Even Mrs. Sheldon giggled. As Mark continued, he told how he didn't have a bolt from... He simply had friends in his football team who would chat with him occasionally about spiritual things, and one day invited him to attend a course called Christianity Explored. "The course is just so simple," Mark said with excitement in his voice. "You get to read one of the biographies of Jesus' life and ask whatever questions you want. This man Jesus," he continued, "just impressed me so much. I find myself wanting to know more." James didn't understand everything he heard in church that day, and he kept missing the amen during prayers. Nevertheless, the whole experience, especially hearing Mark's story, was powerful to say the least. His overriding impression was that these people really believed what they were saying and found great joy in it. Caitlin would have liked this, he thought to himself at the end. Over the next month, James managed to get to church twice more. Never with Caitlin, though, who seemed increasingly uncomfortable with this whole God thing. At work, James found himself pondering spiritual things more and more. He wanted to know more about the faith, but wasn't exactly sure how to go about it. An opportunity was presented to him a couple of weeks later. Toward the end of his fourth church service, James was counting them, the man leading the service announced that another Christianity Explored course was starting soon. James was interested but dubious until he heard it was going to be held in Stuart and Kim's home. It turns out Stuart ran quite a few of these courses, including the one that Mark had done. A member of the congregation some years before had given the church money to employ someone a day and a half a week to coordinate evangelism in the church. Stuart had been in the role for a couple of years. Well, James stayed for about 10 minutes after the service for a cup of coffee. He asked Stuart about the course. "Would you be open to a sceptic like me coming along to your seminar thing?" James was trying to sound more sceptical than actually he really was. "Absolutely," Kim interrupted, "and you'll get to eat some more of my cooking." Well, a couple of weeks later, James was sitting in Stuart's lounge with 8 or 9 others, exploring for the first time the life of Christ from Mark's gospel. Some in the group were quiet. Others, like James, had questions about all sorts of things. How do you know the Bible stories are not just made up? Why would God let suffering exist? What do you have to give up to be a Christian? And so on. Kim and Stuart answered the questions really helpfully. For James, in particular, the trustworthiness of Stuart's professional and personal life somehow seemed to carry over into his statements about Christ. James knew he was not listening to a religious nut. One session, after looking at the meaning of Jesus' death, James asked, "But why would he do that?" "Because he loves us," says Kim. "Because he couldn't stand the thought of you and me not finding God's forgiveness." If this is true, thought James, this was important stuff. Well, that night when James got home, Caitlin was already asleep. James went into the lounge and grabbed a drink. He decided to finish reading Mark's gospel. When he got to the end, he wanted to keep reading. He turned the page and started on the gospel of Luke. He turned the page and started to read chapter 5, the calling of Levi, about the tax collector. The simple words, "follow me," and Levi's response struck James with great force. He sat pondering everything he'd experienced over the last couple of months. And then he whispered, almost unconsciously, "I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to follow you." Suddenly, he realized the difference between religion and faith in Christ. Well, Caitlin, his wife, got a surprise the next morning. "Darling," James said as he gave Caitlin her usual cup of tea in bed, "I don't know the right way to describe this, but all this stuff I've been learning about God and Christ, I believe it now." "Well, I've always believed it," Caitlin said, remembering her school days. "What do you mean?" "Yes, but this is all new for me," continued James. "And I want to take it seriously. I want it to affect my life." Now, Caitlin was nervous. "In what way?" she said. James had no idea, really. He just figured something as important as this was bound to do something to you. Later that day at work, James took Kim aside and told her what he'd read the night before and how he had decided to do what Levi did. As he was talking, he noticed the ever-bubbly Kim had tears rolling down her face. "James," she said with a quiver in her voice, "I'm so happy for you. Stuart and I have been praying for you these last few weeks, really hoping that Christ would become real to you." Praying for you. Those words suddenly reminded James of his godmother, Auntie Judy. James knew he had to tell her about his newfound faith. So after work, he found the number and rang it. "Auntie Judy," he said, "it's James, your godson." "Oh, dear James, how wonderful to hear from you. Is everything okay? Caitlin, is she well?" "Everything's fine," James assured her. "I just need to tell you about something that's been happening to me recently." James went on to tell Judy everything. His friendship with Kim, the night in the pub, the first church service, Mark's testimony, Stuart's course, what he discovered in the Gospels, everything. He must have talked non-stop for several minutes. "Are you still there, Auntie Judy?" "I'm here, James," she said with a quiver. "I have to ask," James said. "You once said that you prayed for me every day. What have you been praying for me exactly?" His godmother explained that for almost 30 years, she had been asking God somehow to give James some Christian friends who could point him to Jesus. James listened, dumbfounded. "Well, I think your prayers have got through," he said. As he went to bed that night, James looked at Caitlin, sleeping so peacefully, and wondered how he could help her find what he had found. In that moment, nothing seemed more important. Jesus said, "As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful reality that seed sown will find in some a good response. We pray that you would help us here as a church community to work with you to see the good news go out. Please help us to be patient. Help us to bear in mind all these things we've learned over the past few weeks. But we know that ultimately this is your work. We can't persuade anybody ourselves. It needs to be your Spirit taking your word and working it in hearts. And we pray you'd do that. In all the different things we do, may they work together that others might hear more of Jesus. And we ask for his sake. Amen.